Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 17 May 2026, Romans.
Right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 sounds like this. I am communicating the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience bearing witness with me by the agency of the Holy Spirit. That's the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul is a Jew. He's an Israelite. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, now Paul in Romans 9, verse 2, expresses his great burden and sorrow for his fellow Jews who have excluded themselves by not appropriating eternal salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, we always start with the King James Version, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. This is the conjunction hati plus the present active indicative of the verb eimi plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego plus the noun lupe modified by the adjective megas plus the conjunction chi with the noun odune, modified by the adjective audio leptos, plus the dative singular of cardia with the genitive singular of the personal pronoun ego. Now, we start out with hati. Oh, we didn't get it back to red. Let's see how this works. Ha! Hati, that's the letter H. It's the mouth breathing over the word. H-O-T-I. Hati. Now, oftentimes, it is a causal conjunction, but not here. Following words of decendi, like saying, speaking. And in verse 1, we had the word lego. That's a verb of decendi. Following verbs of decendi, it's correctly translated that. Not because, but that. So hati introduces the object of the triple oath that Paul gave in verse 1. And then we have, I'll actually put it up here in the Greek, and then you can see this. The key here is that every word is very, very important. We have lupe, and then we have, that's the dative of the personal pronoun ego, moi, And then the to be verb, ami, but here it's estin, and then megale. Now, first of all, we have to know that the dative singular, that's dative singular of the personal pronoun ego, is the dative of possession. This is very important. Dative of possession. And this is going to be I. Dative of possession, personal pronoun ego. I, with when it's combined with the verb ami, which is here, then it's correctly translated, I have. I have, or I possess. So very important. We have the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego, and it's a dative of possession with ami, I have, I possess. All right? And then we have megas. Megas is the word here. Megas. And megas literally means, in fact, let me give you the point because I got 16 points here, so we better get these points. One, megas literally means intensity. Excuse me. Megas literally means any extension in space in all directions. That's literal, but we don't have it used literally here. It's used figuratively. Point two, figuratively, megas means intensity or great, and the best translation is great. So it's used figuratively here. So I have great, point three, lupe. L-U-P long E. Lupe. And lupe means grief. It means sorrow of mind or spirit. It is third, it means affliction. And this is affliction in the Apostle Paul's heart. So lupe means grief, sorrow of mind or spirit, affliction. Four, the absence of the definite article puts the spotlight on the Apostle Paul's great sorrow. Great sorrow for the Jewish people and the nation Israel. The absence of the definite article puts the spotlight on the Apostle Paul's great sorrow for the Jewish people and the nation Israel. Five, this is the same great sorrow that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he saw Jerusalem and wept. This is the same great sorrow that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he saw Jerusalem and wept. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Starting at verse 41, Luke 19, verse 41, And when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, approached, he saw the city, Jerusalem, and he wept over it. Verse 42, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies, the Romans, Titus and the Roman legions, coming up in 70 AD, for the days shall come upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank before you and surround you and hem you in on every side and will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. 6. Our Lord wept because he knew that the fifth cycle of discipline and the fall of Judea was coming very soon. Our Lord wept because he knew, he's the omniscient, all-knowing God. And when he saw Jerusalem, he wept because he knew that the fifth cycle of discipline and the fall of Judea was coming. 7. In 70 AD, Titus and the Roman legions would administer the fifth cycle of discipline, and Israel would never be a client nation to God again until Christ comes back at the second advent. In 70 AD, Titus and the Roman legions would administer the fifth cycle of discipline, and in Israel would never be a client nation to God again until Christ comes back at the second advent. 8. The explanation of Jesus' great sorrow and weeping is found in Luke 21. So turn over to Luke 21. The explanation of Jesus' great sorrow and weeping is found in Luke 21, starting at verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, this is Titus and the Roman legions, 70 AD. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is at hand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of the city depart. And let not those who are in the country enter the city, because these are days of vengeance, in order that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are with child, and to those who nurse babes in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land, and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And that will be at the second advent of Jesus Christ. Point 9. From 70 A.D., throughout the church age, we're living in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost, will conclude with the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. So, from 70 A.D., throughout the church age, which we're living in, and throughout the seven-year tribulation period, right up to the second advent of Christ when He returns, we are living in the times of the Gentiles. We're living in the times of the Gentiles right now. In the times of the Gentiles, there is no Jewish client nation. The last Jewish client nation to God terminated in 70 A.D., Judea. Throughout the church age, all client nations to God are Gentile client nations. And there will not be another Jewish client nation to God till Christ comes back at the second advent, establishes His kingdom on earth, the millennial reign of Christ. So we're living in the times of the Gentiles right now. And right now, currently, the client nation to God right now is the United States of America. We are the client nation to God right now. How much longer we're going to be the client nation to God? Well, God knows. We are a nation in apostasy and a nation in degeneracy. And we're still here, so there's the possibility that we will continue on. It all depends on how large is the pivot of spiritually mature believers in America. Those believers who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, those believers who have attained spiritual maturity, those believers who have virtue love brought to completion in their heart, those believers who are living their life by the royal family honor code. If that's big enough, God will deliver us from the fifth cycle of national discipline. If it's not, then we will be removed. So from 70 A.D., throughout the church age and the tribulation, right up to the second advent, we are living in the times of the Gentiles. 10. The times of the Gentiles is that period when no Jewish nation will be a client nation to God. The times of the Gentiles is that period when no Jewish nation will be a client nation to God. From 70 A.D., from that point, up to the second advent of Christ. 11. Only Gentile nations are client nations to God in the times of the Gentile. And we're living in the times of the Gentile, the church age. Only Gentile client nations are client nations to God in the times of the Gentile. Point 12. After 70 A.D. and the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline on Judea, the last Jewish client nation to God, the first Gentile client nation to God was Rome. Rome was the first Gentile client nation to God. Currently, we are the client nation to God, United States of America. 13. Israel will not be a client nation to God again until the second advent and the millennial reign of Christ in the millennial kingdom. Israel will not be a client nation to God again until the second advent and the millennial reign of Christ in the millennial kingdom. So, point 14, the times of the Gentiles goes from 70 AD to the second advent of Christ, when he comes back at the second advent. The times of the Gentiles go from 70 AD to the second advent of Christ. No spiritually mature believer. God wants you all to be spiritually mature believers. He wants you all to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants you all to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Have personal love for God the Father. Impersonal love for all mankind. Occupation with Jesus Christ. He wants you all to have that royal family honor code in your heart and live your life by that royal family honor code. But point 15, no spiritually mature believer who lives in a client nation to God. And right now, United States of America is the client nation to God in the world. No spiritually mature believer who lives in the client nation to God can watch the degeneracy and apostasy of that nation without having great sorrow and pain in his heart. No spiritually mature believer who lives in the client nation to God. Today, we are the client nation to God. And that spiritually mature believer witnesses and watches our nation in apostasy and degeneracy. He cannot watch that without having great sorrow and pain in his heart. He cannot watch that apostasy and degeneracy without having great sorrow and pain in his heart. I love our nation. I love what that flag stands for. Freedom. Freedom. The freedom to assemble in a sound Bible-teaching church like Upland Bible Church. The freedom to believe in Jesus Christ and proclaim the good news of the grace gospel to people all over America. I love our nation. I love all those men who served in the military. And some of them gave the supreme sacrifice so that we could have this freedom. Freedom to assemble in a Bible-teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Freedom to honor Jesus Christ in proclaiming the grace gospel all over the land. And to see our nation going through what it's going through, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. So no winner believer who lives in a client nation to God can watch the apostasy and degeneracy of that nation without having great sorrow and pain in his heart. 16. There is one thing you can do to turn all of this around, and that is to make good decisions, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, the mandate, it's a command for all of us. Grow up in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge. doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The mandate, live the spiritual life. We're commanded, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. What can we do to turn everything around? Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Attain spiritual maturity. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. Personal love for God the Father. Impersonal love for all mankind. Occupation with Christ. And live our life by the royal family honor code. When you attain spiritual maturity, you will have the royal family honor code in your heart. And then you will live your life by the royal family honor code. And that royal family honor code demands patriotism. Patriotism for the client nation to God. It's honorable to serve in the military. It is honorable to serve in law enforcement. It is honorable to be a police officer. It is honorable to be a border agent. It is honorable to be an ICE agent. Honorable. So he starts out that I have a great sorrow. But that isn't all he has. We're going to start here next week. And the rest is going to say that I have a great sorrow and constant pain in my heart. This is the Apostle Paul. That I have a great sorrow and a constant pain in my heart. We're going to pick this up again next Sunday with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this morning to fellowship with you through the study of the Word. We ask that God the Holy Spirit will take this truth and set it apart to the nourishment and the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.